Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we start a new tradition here on the Mark Steiner Show. We're always coming up with great new traditions, and this one is one we've been looking forward to for a while, which is every month. We're not going to limit to a month if we don't have to, but at least once a month. Leah Gilmore will join us. She'll be in our studio. She'll be co-hosting with me. We'll be talking about all manner of things. Leah Gilmore, of course, has been on the show many times. She's program director at the Maryland Black Family Alliance. She's a board member of the ACLU of Maryland. She's a contributing writer, an interviewer at Maryland Commons. She's an internationally renowned gospel and blues singer, artist, and scholar. And she's in the studio now. And hello, Leah Gilmore.
Hello, Mark Steiner.
How are you?
I'm so thrilled to be here.
It's good to have you.
This is really happening?
This is happening. We've known each other for a long time now, for at least 16 years. And Leah, for the last 15 years of those years, every holiday season joined me for a look at the holiday, listening to music that Leah wants to share with the world. And in the process of that, we realized that we had a lot to say to one another.
Yeah, maybe too much sometimes. But we knew each other even from ACLU days and old activism days. So when you said 16 years, so I must have been four.
You were just a baby.
No.
And the lines are open to 410-319-8888. And you can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We're going to jump into a number of things in the news. But first, let's talk about how this came about and why. I mean, and you're just being part of this and why. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, thank you. I guess I should talk, shouldn't I? You know, we've known each other a long time. And I think sharing the radio together during the Democratic National Campaign really was a spark of, hey, we should do some more. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about music and the arts, but, you know, getting a chance to talk about the political world, the social activism world is really something that we've been looking for. And I think it's also great to hear another woman's voice.
Women's voice is very important. The key to the liberation of the planet and the future are women, I believe.
Okay, your check is in the mail. I must have written that down for you to say it. Another great thing about radio, you know, I could sit here with totally no makeup or pajamas and it'd be okay.
You don't have pajamas on now.
They don't know.
But it is true. Leah went to Denver with us to cover the Democratic National Convention. We broadcast back here every night. With Anthony McCarthy here hosting in the studio, Justin Levy producing for us out in Denver. He went with us as well, and Jessica was back here working and producing from Baltimore, and so the relationship began there. And now Leah is also doing interviews at Maryland Commons, which is a great new news site that has been developed to look at Maryland politics from a progressive point of view and do some analysis of issues. And she writes for them. And so we're going to just do this every month. It could be anything can happen.
Absolutely.
We might have a guest in the studio.
There you go.
We might just talk about what Leah's been writing about for Maryland Commons. We might talk about the issues of the day. We might play music.
Right.
Who knows?
Maybe we'll have just a blues concert.
Oh, we just have a blues concert. It's true. So the number here is 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. But we were going to talk about, you have a lot of papers there in front of you.
Yeah.
So and, why don't you start, I have a whole list of what's on my mind, but what's on your mind?
Well, you know, there's always something on my mind, Mark. I just interviewed last week Senator Jamie Raskin.
From Tacoma Park.
From Tacoma Montgomery Park. He represents District 20. And we hear so many negatives about politicians. Even the word politician often is synonymous with fill in the blank, you know, fill in the negative that I can't say on the air. But I really had such a wonderful time with Senator Raskin because he really renewed my faith that there are some really good legislators out there. He's in Annapolis fighting the hard fight, doing the right thing, and also heading the constitutional law program at American University.
So what did you all talk about?
We talked about saving the world. And I guess, let's see, the world's still not saved, but we're working on it.
Far from saved.
But he's been working on a variety of things. You know, they just recently passed in the Annapolis legislature the Freedom of Expression Act, and that was the spying bill, the anti-spying bill. Senator Raskin worked very heavily on that. You know, it was like anti-peace demonstrators and anti-war demonstrators and death penalty activists all were being spied on by the state police. And I don't know, I thought maybe the state police thought these people were going to piece people to death. You know, it was really something strange. But Senator Raskin, along with a lot of other great legislators and letter in the ACLU, worked to stop that.
You know, one of the things that bothered me about that legislation and that investigation, I have utmost respect for Stephen Sachs, former Attorney General, who led the investigative commission on that. And I think he's just an incredible man, a man of great honor and dignity. Having said that, I was a little dismayed that they did not decide to pursue the investigation to really find out who gave the orders to spy on citizens of the state of Maryland who were involved in fighting the death penalty, who were involved in anti-Iraq war activities, and that...
And environmentalists.
And environmentalists, right. And the state police were kind of... It was stopped right there at state police headquarters. But no one ever questioned them. No one questioned people in the Robert Ehrlich administration when he was governor. Who gave the orders? Who approved it? How far did it go? How many people knew? Did they know about it in the governor's mansion? Did they know about it in the secretary's office of justice here in the state of Maryland? The problem was that I don't think it went far enough, just like the questions about whether or not we should be doing the investigations in the U.S. Congress over torture and the rest, no matter how far it goes, saying it's too dangerous to do because we'll divide the country or we'll divide the state or the opposition. But I think it didn't go far enough.
I agree with you, actually, there. And I bet you're looking at me shot like I do agree with you.
No, I'm not. Not on this one, anyway.
Yeah, not on this one. But I asked that same question, and I said, well, where did the buck stop? And you get the, I don't know. We think maybe it came from the top, or we think maybe it came from, you know, within the state police department. But there's no definitive answer to that question. And I think it's very unfortunate because when you don't know those things, things can repeat themselves. Even with legislation, they can just come in a different form.
Right. I mean, where are the laws coming out of this that say that this cannot occur, that you're not allowed to do this without some oversight? I mean, I think that there's...
Well, the new legislation does say that. It does say that this cannot occur. And you must prove to us that this is not occurring, you know, systematically and routinely, yearly and annually, that you cannot... you know, perpetrate these practices amongst innocent Marylanders who are just gathering. And Senator Raskin said something interesting. He said now the living rooms and the basements of people gathering to talk about peaceable things are safe again. And that's what the law did do. I agree that the commission did not go far enough and say this is where this came from.
410-319-8888. I know a number of you who listen to this program have called in before were actually victims of that. You might have something to say about that or your thoughts about police spying in our world. Some people get worried about here in the city of Baltimore that we have cameras everywhere watching everything you do, that we now have little chips or whatever they are, scanners on our license plates. So if your car is stolen, it can be stolen, but they can find the car no matter where it is in the state of Maryland. Well, on one hand, it's great if you steal my car. On the other hand, I get worried about Big Brother and people knowing just a little bit too much about who I am and where I go, which is one of my paranoid reasons I haven't gotten an easy pass yet.
Yeah, that easy pass is way Orwellian to me. But, you know, it's either, I feel the same thing. I was recently just at Rite Aid, and I used my debit card to pay for something, and it said, thank you, Leah Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very freaky to me, you know. But then the convenience that we have become very used to also comes with this price.
Right.
You know, that we pay.
We live in a very convenient society. I mean, I'm thinking about that with the bill that was just passed about credit cards in the U.S. Congress. And I was reading about the bill this morning in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal again, and I can ask myself, wait a minute, but they can still charge us 36% for using a credit card. I mean, and we got credit cards in the mail yesterday. A statement from one of the credit card companies, I think it was Citigroup, that in lieu of this bill, has decided to raise our rates even though we pay the bills.
Right.
And so I think it's ludicrous and obscene almost that anybody can charge another human being 36% on a purchase. If that's what we have to do, then maybe we shouldn't be doing it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, that is usury.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And we feel very trapped by it. What can we do? You know, what can we do? I think now that the Congress has addressed it, it's 20 years of more ahead than we were before. I mean, the fact that we know that these credit card companies who have huge lobbyists, you know, on K Street, like all of the rest, you know, who are in there constantly lobbying to, you know, to get these fees, to let these fees stay the way they are. So at least somebody's addressing it. But 36% is beyond the pale.
I mean, if you can't make a living on loaning people money at a reasonable percent, then don't loan the money and we shouldn't be borrowing it.
Oh, you're too good, Mark. That's why you don't own a credit card company, Mark Steiner.
Well, no, I could not own a credit card. I do own credit cards, which is part of the problem. And I'm like everybody else, and you use them sometimes.
Right.
And when you do, I mean, you can all of a sudden pile up that debt before you realize it, even when you try to pay it off. People are calling in. Let's go to the phones here before we talk about all manner of things from the Senate. Just said no, by the way, this afternoon to President Barack Obama's wanting to close Guantanamo because they don't want prisoners in there. In coming to the state near you, we can talk about that and your thoughts about that. We'll get to that. Leah was showed me an article about Republicans losing support, but I'll do my but later. Michael Steele helped to pass a rule in the Republican Party saying Democrats are socialists. We'll talk about that. And a great deal more. And let's go here to the phones. 410-319-8888. Lavana in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Leah.
I'm well. Thank you. Welcome.
I'm calling because I was involved in the case, the arrest that happened a number of years ago that ultimately, I believe, led to the investigation. We got the ACLU involved, and then, of course, as they investigated, there were many other organizations besides ours. I'm with the Pledge of Resistance, and we were demonstrating at the NSA, which, of course, everyone knows is a federal agency. And when we arrived in a caravan, we were met by a friend who was also going to demonstrate with us, who had come earlier from a different direction, and who was told when he got there that they knew exactly what time we would be arriving. They knew when we had left and where we were, and they told him what time we would be arriving, which, of course, let us know that somebody had been watching us and knew about our demonstration, even though it had never been posted on an open line. And it was at our trial, when we finally could question people under oath, that they testified that they had a terrorist watch on our organization, which is a completely committed, peaceable organization. Mm-hmm. And that they were reporting back to the city agency, was reporting back to the state police, and the state police reported back to the federal level. And I later met someone in a totally different setting where I was teaching who had been working at NSA during that time, and who said that they knew everything about what was going on before we arrived and during our stay. So it was very clear that this didn't stop at the state level, and I just wanted to get that out there so that a lot of people would know that, because, of course, it's completely outrageous that the whole thing had a lid on it at the state level, because it was a chain of command under the National Terrorist Watch that generated the action on the state and local level.
Lavana, thank you so much. Lavana, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think that's an interesting and needed perspective to talk about the federal level. I mean, but the federal, during that time period, we had bred that atmosphere of being comfortable with spying because, you know, the terrorists were coming to get us everywhere, anywhere, and at all times. But it was interesting when I learned a little bit more about this bill and talking to this about the state police. I learned that the state police weren't even reporting all of these facts to the federal government. So not only do you have, suppose there actually were terrorists, they still don't know that they were terrorists.
They weren't investing in terrorists, they were investing in peace activists.
They were investing in peace activists,
right.
Exactly.
It's insane. We have an email here for you. Leah Gomer is in the studio with us now, Program Director for the Maryland Black Family Alliance, board member of the ACLU, writer for the Maryland Commons, gospel and blues artist and scholar. We will talk about all manner of things every month when she joins us here in the studio here every third Wednesday.
Yeah.
410-319-8888 is the number. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Susie wrote in, I'd like to hear Leah speak about gay marriage. The past few months have seen it become legal in more states, Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. Our neighbor right to the south, D.C., just voted to recognize gay marriages in other states. When is it going to come here? How much longer do we have to wait for our state to join the march forward? Who are the chief opponents in our legislature? Who in the legislature that should be stepping forward is not stepping forward, writes Susie in Baltimore to Leah Gilmore.
Well, thank you, Susie in Baltimore. As many of you may know, the Maryland Black Family Alliance, which I'm the program director for, is an alliance of straight African Americans who are preachers, teachers, legislators, mothers, fathers, and sisters and brothers, preachers, let's underline that again, preachers, reverends, who believe in justice for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, including marriage equality. And we have been fighting very hard for marriage equality here in Maryland, and we get closer and closer, but it's a difficult subject, and we need to do a lot of education on it. There have been some significant victories in Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire and Iowa.
Iowa.
Yeah. You know, you could just go over the border in Canada and...
the state that turned Barack Obama's campaign
there
around.
There you go. There's something wild about that when you really think about it.
What is happening in Iowa?
There are progressives living in Iowa that we never knew about. But this is something that's very important to me. I'm also the director of Pride and Faith, which is a group of faith leaders who believe in equality for the LGBT community. And I coordinate the Marylanders of Color Collective, which is a collective of LGBT activists of color. And I am a straight woman married to a black Southern Baptist preacher who is often thought of as the antithesis of someone who would support that. But he is now a supporter. He's a member of MBFA, and he believes in this equality as well. Susie, we are fighting very hard for it. We are working with the legislators who are supportive, and we're talking to the ones who aren't. This is a journey like any civil rights journey. It is not an instant win. And this is something that we will be working on for quite a while. But we know, you know, the arc of justice always, always leans towards justice. And in the end, we will get it. We will get marriage here in Maryland, but it's going to be an uphill fight.
410-319-8888. We've had a lot of discussions on the show about gay marriage and equality for lesbians and gay people and transgender people in this society. What are your thoughts about that? 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. 410-319-8888. I mean, because right now, the controversy in D.C. is heated up.
Oh, yeah.
Marion Barry, former mayor of Washington, right, now a city councilman, has come out as a vociferous opponent.
Who was once a proponent. Yes.
Now opposed. And the headlines in all the D.C. papers and all the D.C. talk shows is about the great racial divide around gay marriage in Washington, D.C., yes, centered around Marion Barry.
This is what we need to stop in its tracks. This is not a race issue. This is an issue of justice. And it is very, you know, provocative to say, but in the African-American community, this is not something that, you know, is a discussion that we have about gay marriage constantly. We have other ills that we deal with. We're dealing with poverty. We're dealing with education issues. But this is our issue as well.
What happened
with Marion Barry was that he that got pressured by the faith community, who sees this as a religious issue. And unfortunately, that's how it's being, you know, propelled in the press as well. This is an issue not about religious rights, R-I-T-E-S. It's about rights, R-I-G-H-T-S. And no minister, no reverend will ever be forced to marry anyone that they don't want to marry. This is about civil justice, civil marriage equality. And I think that's the difficulty for many folks, is to understand the difference.
I mean, it the I heard Marion Barry being interviewed on Michelle Martin's Tell Me More the other morning. And it was kind of shocking to hear the switch that he made from being a proponent to being an opponent.
I think it's shameful. I'm just going to say that very, I'll wait for the emails about that. But for a civil rights activist who knows how damaging discrimination can be, who was such a proponent for justice for LGBTs, for our community, just a few years, months ago, you know, to make such a huge switch. You know, we are coming upon an election year, Mark.
Well, Marion Barry is the champion of especially the African-American community, the poor African-American community in Washington, D.C., and he always portrayed himself as that and defended his, but he says was a wrongful arrest for smoking crack. He talked about that on the air.
Even though they had the videotape,
So he talked about that, but the question is, I'm very curious our listeners think as well about Marion Barry in the middle of that controversy and where this all takes us. Mm-hmm. Because the D.C. vote itself to recognize gay marriages from other states is going to mean that the U.S. Congress will probably get into this debate. So this will become a federal debate very shortly because D.C. doesn't have the right to pass its own laws.
That's right.
You know, it's still a second-class city.
Well, it does have the right to recognize other laws, and that's what they did. They didn't pass a law. They passed a act to recognize marriages from other jurisdictions.
But someone can introduce a bill in U.S. Congress saying D.C. cannot do this and they can override it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's why I think let's see what our listeners again. 410-319-8888. We'll talk about this for a little bit and anything else you'd like. We will talk about the Senate saying no to closing Guantanamo Bay. We'll talk a bit about that as well. And first big hit that Barack Obama took since he's been president from the Democrats themselves. 410-319-8888. Steve on the Western Shore, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? And thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of I hope it's a simple question. And again, I just popped on the radio and was listening to the show. And I'm wondering if you could explain why a civil union, if a civil union were to have the benefits of marriage, because I believe that most Christians, believe that marriage is before their God, their belief system, and if a civil union were to have the same benefits of marriage, why is that not good enough?
That's a very good question.
It's a great question. It's because we already have an institution that provides over 1,000 protections for couples, and it's marriage, it's civil marriage, not necessarily religious marriage. Marriage is a contract here in the States. And why create another bureaucracy when you already have something that can work? Civil unions is, we learned a long time ago that separate always becomes inherently unequal eventually. I don't think civil unions are a bad thing. I don't think civil unions are something that we should always forget, but I think we should definitely work towards fighting. When we fight towards equality, we fight towards complete equality.
You can respond to this, but I interviewed Gene Robinson a couple of months back, who is the Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire. And he is the first openly gay Episcopal bishop and has not hidden the fact that he's gay. And that caused a huge controversy, as most of us know. And when I asked him this question, when I interviewed him when he was in Annapolis, his response was this. He said, look, in America and in almost every country in the world, marriage is a civil right, not a religious right. That you can get married in a church, but your church, no matter where you get married, the certificate you sign is a state certificate. And the church and the synagogue and the mosque, none of them cannot offer you a divorce. Only the state can offer you a divorce. And only the state can sanction a marriage. So the thing is, so his argument was that marriage is marriage and it is a state issue and not a religious issue. And no one can force any church, synagogue, mosque, or temple to marry a same-sex couple. So
in fact, that's a very good point. The United States is the only Western country that allows religious faith leaders to certify a marriage legally. all other countries, Western countries, you have to go to the city hall. This is straight couples, gay and lesbian couples, whatever couple you are. You have to go to the city hall to get married. And then if you'd like a religious ceremony, then it's your choice to do so.
That's exactly right.
But the
right.
only
That's
place right, that right. it can happen that for it to be legal and recognized is in a city hall.
Before you talk to the next caller, Steve, do you want to say anything about that? You still with us?
Excuse me, I respectfully interject, if I may.
Sure.
No, it's fine. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I guess I don't believe what you're saying, and I don't know whether it's misinformation, but there are many countries where the only place to get married, perhaps, in Muslim countries.
We weren't talking about Muslim countries. We were talking about Western developed countries, and maybe I didn't say that specifically. But in Western developed countries, we are the country that only has the... where faith leaders can sanction and certify legally a marriage.
Well, I won't again. I won't labor semantics with you, but I guess I respect your opinion, but I wonder if you respect my right to disagree with you.
Oh, of course,
yes.
I completely respect your right to disagree. That's what's so great about having conversations.
Well, I thank you. I truly thank you for your candor and your honesty. Thank you very much, and thank you.
Those of you who don't know the show, this is Mark Steiner, and I'm with my partner and friend Leah Gilmore here on the air. That one of the things that's a hallmark of this show, and has always been for the last 16 years, is that people's opinions are respected.
Of course.
We're not going to scream and yell because we don't agree. It's a place to discuss things, and we might get heated a little bit, but that doesn't mean that you don't respect the opinions of everybody coming. That's part of what a democracy is about. And so, 410-319-8888, Leon Severna, or Severn, you're on the air.
Yes. Martin Luther King once said, an injury to one is an injury to all. And as a heterosexual man married to a heterosexual woman, that we both have a family, I find no threat from same-sex marriage or LGBT marriage, because the fact of the matter is those couples want the same things that we want. Health care, you know, guaranteed to all human rights. You know, it's ridiculous, you know, how, you know, I hate to see these black ministers being recruited by the religious right to turn the clock back on everyone's rights. It's familiarly known that once they go after one segment, they're coming for you next. And to me, this whole anti-gay right to life, these people are the same culture, and they're using this issue as a gateway to recruit black people into the Republican Party. And I think that as black folks and as progressive people, we need to unite all segments together into one united fist to beat back all the initiatives of the right, because they seek not only to turn the clock back on gays and women, LGBT, but it seems they want to turn the clock back on all the working class gays, and they want to make sure that absolutely the gap that we see between the rich and the poor will always be the same.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. We have to take a short break. You can save this if you'd like.
Well said.
We're going to come right back as I talk to Leah Gilmore about all issues of the day. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We get to your calls, pick up some other issues on the way. Remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression, and over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at MECU.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and it is Third Wednesday, which means that Leah Gilmore is in the house talking with us. Leah Gilmore is program director of the Maryland Black Family Alliance. She's a board member of the ACLU here in Maryland. She is a writer and contributor for Maryland Commons. She's an internationally renowned gospel and blues artist and scholar. 410-319-8888 is the number here, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We're going to talk about a bunch of things this hour. Get to these next two callers, and then we're going to talk a bit about the Senate rejecting Barack Obama's 90-6 they voted to say no, that they, he could not move prisoners from Guantanamo Base to Fort Leavenworth, let's say, in Kansas. Last time I looked, it was a very secure federal facility, but not secure enough. So we'll talk about that. 410-319-8888. Reverend Meredith, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark. Hi, Leah. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. I'd just like to say Leah Gilmore is a wonderful person. All that talent in one package is amazing.
Thank you.
But in terms of the gay marriage issue in D.C., you know, Marion Barry pretty much just wants votes. And I would respect him more if he said that. But to really continue this lie that gay, that, you know, somehow the black community and the gay community are diametrically opposed, ignores the fact that there are black, gay, and lesbian people taking care of their families, and they need these protections. You know, and I think that Marion Barry does a disservice to his constituents because he's playing this mind game with them. But one thing I must say is I challenge the black gay community, black gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender persons to come out. These lies are allowed to fester because too many of us are in closets, and the closet is a stifling place. It is soul-killing, and we have allowed this type of lie to fester in our community. When we come out as black, gay, and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people, all of these myths have to fall away. People like Harry Jackson and people who hold these homophobic views can't stand in the face of truth. They know they're not telling the truth, but they're playing off of people's fears. And I think that when we come out and we show our humanity and demonstrate our human dignity, then people can't continue this type of hate.
Reverend Meredith, thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend Moyes. It's wonderful to hear your voice. She's
definitely
a dynamic activist. You know, Martin Luther King said something. He said a lot of things that were pretty profound, but this moves me all the time, and it is something that I try to live by, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And if any of our American citizens or citizens around the world are experiencing injustice, blatant, civilly denied injustice, then we need to stand up and say that it's wrong. No matter, this crosses racial barriers, it crosses cultural barriers. Injustice has no color on it. We just assign colors to it. And Coretta Scott King was a adamant supporter of gay and lesbian rights, an adamant. In fact, she got a lot of heat from her fellow folks for supporting gay and lesbian rights. Julian Bond, he is one of the honorary board members of the Maryland Black Family Alliance. He did not attend Coretta Scott King's funeral because at the church was so homophobic, homo-hateful. He respectfully decided not to attend because he is a champion for justice for all people. Reverend Joseph Lowry, John Lewis, all civil rights veterans, all standing side by side saying this type of injustice must stop.
What do you all think? 410-319-8888. It's a very important issue, one that divides us, one that may unite us. We'll see. We're joined by Leah Gilmore, third Wednesdays, 410-319-8888. And Beth, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Beth.
My comment is about the gay and lesbian marriage issue. Also, I completely appreciate the distinction between civil and religious ceremonies. And I think there is a religious element that we need to remember, however, which is that it's critical that we support the separation of religion from the state. And that if we have a religion that's trying to impose its views on part of the population, the state really can't afford to support that.
Right. Very good point, Beth. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we see the controversy brewing everywhere on gay marriage. That is kind of here in Maryland. In Washington, it is kind of boiling over. And many of you who listen to this program, listen to our station at WEA and listen to the Mark Steiner Show, live in the D.C. area. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. A lot of other stuff is in the news. I mean, there's this...
It's a busy time.
It's a busy time.
Yes, it is.
Here we have the United States Senate led by
Harry Reid.
Democratic Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid, saying no to Barack Obama's plan to close Guantanamo by denying the, what is it, $60, $80 million to close the base and to move those detainees to secure facilities in the United States of America, whether that be federal prisons in Danbury, Connecticut, or Fort Leavenworth. Now, some of the most dangerous characters on the face of the earth
are in Leavenworth,
right? You know?
Exactly.
And we have gotten to a place where we have taken the prisoners of Guantanamo and made them into some, and demonized them. There was a, I forget his name, but there was a general who made a public statement talking about these terrorists who will gnaw through cable to take down a plane.
Right.
I mean, turning them into like animals. Mm-hmm. But, and granted, some of these guys are pretty dangerous. But to say that to fan these flames and have the senators like Brownback from Kansas saying we don't want them in Kansas. What for? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people who have murdered dozens of people. People who have run the biggest heroin rings in the United States of America doing
who
time.
Who are terrorizing our urban areas.
And are doing time in Leavenworth. Are we not safe from them while they're in Leavenworth?
You know, this is one of the most profoundly bizarre things to me. I think Guantanamo Bay is one of our big mistakes. It's going to go down in history with a lot of the other big mistakes that we have made as a country. But we also have a history of fixing our mistakes. And unfortunately, the vote today didn't propel the fixing side. You know, I think that we are still living in this bizarre state of fear. To use that type of language, like, I don't want that terrorist next door to me. Just like you said, I don't live next door. Even if I live next door to Leavenworth, I'm pretty sure that they're pretty much in there. You know, I don't want to know who's in there. You know, and I don't think we're going to be taking them to little islands in Cuba, you know, without representation.
I mean, it is pretty bizarre that this was used as a political tactic against Barack Obama. It was used to fan the flames of fear in America.
Yes.
And the vote was 90-6.
That's right.
Which means four of the senators didn't vote, or three, because we still haven't seated Al Franken yet. Poor boy is still stuck in Minnesota trying to get to Washington.
And that's another thing to talk about. Come on, Al. We need you.
You know, it's amazing that he's still stuck up there and that Coleman has not said, okay, I lost. And
yeah, but when Coleman was in another position, he said, well, Al, you know, he really should concede.
Al Gore, he wanted Al Gore to concede like that.
Exactly.
But he's sitting up there in Minnesota saying, nope, even though I lost the election by just three votes, whatever it is, I mean, he lost. So,
well, one thing you can say about this vote is that, you know, if the Republicans or whomever were thinking that the left wing part of the Democratic Party was going to take over, this vote showed that I don't think so.
Well, talk about, I have another thing about left wing. Listen to the phone. Okay. So people called in. I have about the bill that just passed by credit cards and the rider on the bill about it being able to carry guns in national parks. 410-319-8888. Bill in Delaware, you're on the air.
Well, you guys kind of go off to a different subject.
That's all right. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever you want to talk about is fine.
One of my questions goes back to civil rights and gay marriage, whether you call it gay marriage, whether you call it a civil union. I think it all breaks down to finances and the fact that we have lobbying groups that want to keep the insurance companies' overhead to a minimal. And I'm kind of interested on your thoughts on that as a big driving force.
That's very interesting, you know, because one of the protections that will happen, and I've actually never thought of it from that perspective. I always thought of it as a benefit to society as we build so much revenue when couples get married, you know, and so many tax advantages. But it shows that insurance is an important thing. I think their lobbyists doing a lot of cantankerous things in D.C., and I don't put it past them, but I can't say definitively that's one of the reasons. But we know that a lot of couples are not covered, and their children are not covered purely because of the folks who they've chose to love or spend their life with. Bill, I didn't answer you specifically, Bill, because I don't know, but I think it's a very interesting way of thinking about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bill, before you hang, I'd like to ask you a question. Just this is a logistical question. Are you listening to us in your car or at your home?
I'm actually driving through town.
All right. Good to talk. Good to have you join us.
Wow.
Thank you.
410-319-8888 is the number here. And what do you think about the Senate saying no to Barack Obama? And you cannot close Guantanamo and bring these dangerous criminals to America, the terrorists. The bill that was passed today about credit cards, which I don't think did as enough as it should have been to protect us from the usury rates the credit cards charge. However, tacked onto that bill was a bill that was passed with that bill that allows people to carry guns, concealed weapons.
Unbelievable.
In national parks. Right. And part of it is because the new Western state Democrats who were elected to mm-hmm. Congress in this last surge when Barack Obama won are pro-gun advocates. And so together they make a majority now in the Senate and the Congress. But regardless, I mean, I have my own, I mean, I don't, we may disagree on this. I don't think the government should tell us what and when, what we can buy when it comes to guns. But
yeah, we'll probably disagree on that.
We can disagree, and, you know, but why do we need, why does anybody need a gun in a national park? I'm waiting for the first person to have his child shot in an encampment by some idiot with a concealed weapon in a national park. What, are you going to shoot a grizzly bear or what?
It's just thoughtless. I mean, we don't even have to intellectualize that. I mean, but it's one of those things. You know how it works in D.C. and how it works in Washington. I mean, we both worked there and, for a while. It is, if you put this in the bill, then I'll give you this vote. And so that's how you get the vote on the credit card. But what does that have to do with the credit card?
It's, these riders have nothing to do with any bill. They
that's
put
right.
riders on bills because they want to get
time.
Them through.
And unfortunately, the public doesn't know much about this. I mean, we hear about the greater, the grand bill, you know, but we don't hear about those things that are stuck in the middle. And some of those things stuck in the middle are pretty provocative.
So I'd like to know if you are frightened by the idea or angry about the idea or worried about the idea that we would move a terrorist to a federal prison near you. Which would be Pennsylvania or West Virginia in our case, or whether you think you should be able to carry a concealed weapon in a national park. 410-319-8888. And when was the last time you had maybe concealed in a national park? And it those kind of things just really kind of shocked me. And I was I'm not shocked that people use this as a ploy to kind of go back to their. Be able to go back to their home states.
Exactly. And get reelected.
Right.
Bottom line.
So it's Marion Barry with gay marriage in Washington.
And concealed weapons in national parks.
Unless I bring a terrorist held Guantanamo to Fort Leavenworth.
Right. At least not this week.
Not this week. Because they might do what? I know what might happen. They might convert other inmates to Islam while they're.
I'm not touching any of this, Mark. I'm not going there with you.
410-319-8880. We'll come to these calls coming in just a minute as you call us to talk about the issues of the day, whether it's about gay marriage. And I'm not making light of these things. It's just sometimes things that get to be so kind of incredulous. I have a hard time kind of figuring out why. Mm-hmm. They happen and how we allow these things to happen. Though the other issue we talked about yesterday in the show was about Barack Obama and he's following the policies of George W. Bush when it comes to not releasing abuse photos and the other issues.
The tribunals
right. And limited renditions.
Right.
And that's
it's disappointing.
It's just very disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I don't think that we will be without disappointments, but you know what? I'm so glad we weren't where we were. And even though I do not condone this whatsoever, the tribunals, you know, I just think they are exceptionally scary and the antithesis of what we stand for. There have been several new legal protections placed for defendants put in by the Obama administration that didn't exist before.
And I think sometimes... Barack Obama might suffer from the Clinton disease of being afraid to take on military and CIA types inside mm-hmm. the government and make a stand. And let's see what our listeners think. 410-319-8888. Leah Gilmore's in the house. Third Wednesdays is when she visits us, at the very least. Mimi in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, this is my first time calling, and
welcome.
Glad that you were able to take my call.
Glad
Hi,
you
Mimi.
Called.
Hi. I was calling to comment on the release of the terrorists into, like, federal prisons here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to a TV program this morning, and one of the senators was saying that, you know, they're not one of us, they're not like us, and, you know, we don't want them here. And I kind of understand his position, but my other thought was we have people here in our federal prisons that we release into our communities on a regular basis that actually do harm to us, and we know what they are, and we still release them. And I'm thinking these are federal prisons, and, you know, they're terrorists, and they don't have anywhere to go here in the state, so they will be there. Like, we release pedophiles, we release sex offenders back into our communities on a regular basis. They come out, children disappear, people are murdered. And so I'm not understanding the correlation, you know, between these people are just so very dangerous and we can't have them in federal prison.
Well, I mean, I think that I don't know what Leah's take is, but we'll hear that. But I mean, I think that the issue here is that most of these people who would be moved from Guantanamo to federal prisons, A, will not be released anytime soon. And if they are released, they won't be released in the United States of America. They'll be released back to the country from which they came, and will not be released. I mean, think about right now, we're holding people like the people who blew up the World Trade Towers in the first time, the attempted destruction of World Trade Towers. Those people are still in federal prisons. Mm-hmm. People like Timothy McVeigh, the Unabomber. Mm-hmm. These are all people who are in federal prisons.
And will be there.
And will be there.
That's right.
And they're not posing any danger to the people who live down the road from Fort Leavenworth or any other federal prison.
That is my thought, exactly. So I don't see a reason why we cannot close Guantanamo and then put those people into the federal prisons. My other thought, and then I'll, you know, leave, is that some of those, from my understanding in watching and following, we weren't able to concretely say they were part of anything. So we're holding possibly innocent people in prison. Give them a trial. Give them a fair trial.
Right, right.
And then if we cannot concretely say that they were involved, then release them.
Right.
With, you know, an apology from the United States, whatever we need to do. But I don't see us continuing a failed policy of holding
right.
people.
Well, just on that point, a federal judge just yesterday said that the United States can continue to hold some prisoners in Guantanamo Bay indefinitely without any charges.
See, that's
unbelievable.
And it's also not right. I mean, I think one of the things right. that we criticized George Bush for in the beginning, many people did, and the press, some of us in the press tried to do, that most people in the press ignored, is that you can't ignore the Geneva Conventions.
Right.
And that's what we've done in this case. And we have to follow Geneva Conventions, put these people on trial, find out who they are, and either keep them in prison for life because they've done something, or let them go back to where they came from. But you can't. This is not the way to deal with people who we capture in war. Then we have no argument to say if they capture one of us in war.
We have no more moral high ground. We lost that a while back.
Mimi, thank you so much. 410-319.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Appreciate you being part of the show.
Thank you.
410-319-8888. Isaac in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mark.
Hi, Isaac.
Just a couple of comments. You know, the issue with moving the closing Guantanamo, moving the detainees, seems like, you know, it's a non-issue. I mean, if people are concerned about that, imagine how concerned people would be if they really knew the profile of some of the characters that are in their currently in our federal prison.
You got that right.
Right.
You know, the people that actually, you know, have outside, you know, connections and such, but. At any rate, I really think that's it's a moot point. But you know, it's interesting the carrying concealed weapons in the parks. You know, perhaps that was just an added measure of appeasement for the poor folks who are still clinging to their guns.
You know, it's a very scary. I mean, I love national parks. I may have to carry my own weapon.
I'd like to go to national parks without the knowledge of knowing people have concealed weapons.
Exactly. And what you said, Isaac, is true. There are some very bad boys in prison.
That's right.
That
homegrown bad boys.
Who do things like make cell phone calls, have people killed mm-hmm. on the street because they're about to testify. I think Martin O'Malley, by the way, was right in saying that inmates in our prison system should not have cell phones in jail.
You get of course.
I mean, it's
simple. is a sentence that has just so much common sense
I mean,
to it.
Why, you know?
And, you know, why aren't you scrambling the signal? There's some very old, archaic law that allows the cell phone companies to fight not to have that signal scrambled. There's absolutely no reason for a prisoner to have a cell phone.
None. You get a phone call.
You heard it here.
You call your family once a week, whatever you're allowed to do in prison. 410-319-8888. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi. I just have a really quick comment.
Sure.
Hi, Lynn.
And actually, the caller before already spoke to it. My question was, well, how do we know these people are terrorists? And we don't.
Right.
I mean, that's a simple answer. I feel like it's just kind of like a distraction. It's interesting that we're talking about that the issue is a non-issue of moving people who we don't know whether they're guilty or innocent, when right now people are still being tortured. Guantanamo Bay is a torture chamber. And we're not talking about that, but we're talking about should we or should we not move them here or there. So that's just my comment.
All right.
I think you have a very strong point. I agree completely. We don't know they're all terrorists. That's why so many of them have been released and sent back home, because they found out that they were just, many of those people were in the wrong place at the wrong time when they were captured and brought to Bagram or Abu Ghraib or some other prison
that we don't know about.
And that is the case. I mean, a report did come out that say 1 out of 7 of every freed detainee has gone back to the fight with Al Qaeda. 1 out of 7. Well, you know, that's reality.
Well, let's think about 1 out of 7 of prisoners who are released here. They've probably gone back to whatever was happening. So statistically, and I have no idea if this is correct, but statistically, it just may be a statistic that exists across the board. And we're also not talking about thousands and thousands of people at Guantanamo. You know?
Right.
We're talking, how many do you know? It's like 300?
300 people are left in Guantanamo, and the number's dwindling all the time.
Exactly.
And people are, and the Europeans have said, look, back to the United States, we'll take some, but you've got to close Guantanamo and send people to your federal prisons if you want us to take people back to our countries.
So there is a process being developed. That's why this vote today was so freaky. Or, you know, regarding the Guantanamo Bay not being closed, not given the funding for the closure, because there are measures that are being discussed in order to, you know, to what to do with the prisoners.
I mean, the whole issue of tribunals versus federal court, I think people should be tried. And if they're going to give people the rights they're talking about giving them, if President Obama is saying that, they should just try them in federal court and be done with it.
Really?
410-319-8888. Theo, you're on the air. Theo, you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we're focusing on Guantanamo. I'd like your impression about this. Everybody, a lot of the liberals are opposed to the death penalty. Those three Somali pirates got the death penalty, didn't they, when they were shot in the head? Yet nobody is using the word cowboy. Imagine if Bush had been in office and had ordered those three poor Somali teenagers shot. How many times would you have heard the word cowboy, you think?
Well, that's the whole issue. You have a point.
You do have a point,
Theo. And I think that I wish we had more time for your points and the others, but we are plumb out of time. And I want to thank Leah Gilmore for being in the studio with us.
Thank you.
At the very least, we'll see you next month at this time.
There you go.
If not before.
I'm always around.
We love Leah Gilmore. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm glad you were doing this together. It's great too. To have you on the air. Thank you. Folks, thank you all for listening as well. I want to let you know about a great evening coming up that I hope you'll be part of on Wednesday, May 27th. Join us at 6 p.m. for a live broadcast of this show from the Murphy Fine Arts Center at Morgan State University. I'll be interviewing Bob Luke, who wrote the book Baltimore Elite Giants. Joined on the stage by Bert Simmons, a pitcher on that team. We'll be talking about the Negro Baseball Leagues. You can go to steinershow.org or call 410-516-4162 for more information. The Mark Steiner Show is produced by the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Christina Arison, Judith Floyd, Brian Boone, and Jackson Hubolt. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any repair shows, and get information on those shows, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.